If you want to open up to 1 Chronicles 29, we go through verses 10 through 12. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and start with prayer because I need it. Lord Jesus, I thank you for allowing those of us to make it here, Lord. I pray for those that weren't able to make it, that you'll just keep them safe and sound, Lord. And I pray as I get in this teaching that you will keep me calm and keep me on you and keep the words directed at you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." So the reason why I'm picking this set of verses, one, we're doing a financial Bible study, and this is one of the core verses that we go over, and I missed that week. So I felt, hey, this is the time for me to catch up and for Sam to catch up because he wasn't there either. I also wanted to go over this verse or this section because it's really been on my heart to understand the Christian worldview. That's like one of those philosophical terms, worldview. And there's a lot of different worldviews out there. And this set of verses helps us to understand the Christian worldview, as in this case, as it relates to money and possessions. That's kind of the context of this. And an example, for instance, in America, a person may have the worldview that there is nothing after death. In such a view, they may decide that they will do whatever they want with the money and possessions they have. And the Christian worldview is different. So that's kind of the context that I'm trying to go through. Now, as a part of this, there's two main parts. There's God's part, his foundation, and you know what we'll call it his responsibilities are, and then what are our responsibilities. And so I'm going to try and explain those two pieces and then a little bit more at the end. So I'm going to start with what God's role with money and possessions. So the first thing, which is an obvious thing, God owns everything. Now, these verses talk about that, but I'm going to go to Matthew 25. Being a topical, we're going to be jumping around a lot of verses, so we'll see. Matthew 25, 14. Most of you probably know this one by heart. So this is Jesus speaking, and so, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them, and to one of them 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents, went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So that is Jesus given a parable that actually shows a relationship between God and man. And he, just like the Lord in this parable, God owns everything. And what he does is give portions to us. And there's a lot more in there, but I'm on a roll. So the next thing is one of the things that he owns is the land. Levi 25:23, the land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. So all the land is God's. We get it temporarily. Next one is gold and silver. Ezekiel 16:17. You have also taken your beautiful jewelry from my gold and my silver, which I have given you, and made for yourself male images and played the harlot with them. So again, all the stuff that we mess up, gold and silver, he gave it to us. Everything that we've got came from him. We just kind of mold it. And I'll get more into that when it's our turn. But also animals, and I'm going to call it livelihood, in Psalm 50:10-11. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So I think it's pretty clear. God owns everything, including our livelihood. The next thing he controls is every event. So not only all the physical possessions, but also every event that might happen to us. So the Lord allows difficult circumstances, and that's in Amos 3:6 and Romans 8:28. I'll do Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good in those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So, again, God is in control of all the events, and they all work out for good, even if at times they're difficult for us. Now, one of the things that, or one of the stories in the Bible that I like that really puts a big encapsulation of this is the life of Joseph. So when he was born, he was second to last boy. So that meant he was lower on the list. But then he became the favorite son when he turned 17. And then his brother, so he moved up the ladder, if you will. And then he had dreams and told them to his brothers, hey, I'm going to be over everybody. And his brothers didn't like that. So then they threw him in a pit and eventually sold him to slavery. So he went down again. But then the person that he was the slave of, he became the head slave in that household with Potiphar. And then, of course, he's falsely accused and thrown into prison. So then he's further down. But then he became the head prisoner. And then some other guys came in. They told him some dreams. And he said, hey, when you get out of here, remember me. Well, they forgot him. So, you know, he was kind of down. But then eventually he got back out and became second of all of Egypt. So, you know, and that's one of those things that you have one person has all these up and down. And because of all those up and down at the very end, he was able to save all of Egypt from that huge drought that they had because he helped plan it all. And so God controlled that whole thing. And so he does the same thing for us. The third thing that he does is he provides for everything. In fact, Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. So that's one of God's names even, is that he will provide. So he is our provider. He provides food. He provides shelter. I think about when the children of Egypt were headed back to the promised land and 40 years of provision. I mean, that's a huge miracle in itself. The fourth thing that he did is that God gives us our riches and our possessions. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So all the possessions that we have and everything that, you know, God has given to us, we didn't come up with it. Even go back to, obviously, the Garden of Eden. God provided the garden, all the stuff, and we're going to get into our part of it, which is to maintain it, but we're not quite there yet. Though I'm moving fast, so that's good. So God also causes prosperity. We have Jacob and Joseph and Solomon. But he can also take the Lord gives, but he also takes away. And an example is Job. So obviously, Job, his life, he had a lot of possessions, and then he went through, you know, everything kind of being destroyed, and then God gave it back to him. And, you know, those kinds of miracles, those are the same kinds of things that can happen in our lives as well. And I know I can look at my life and go, how did I even get to where I am today? I mean, all the mistakes I've made, and yet I still made it to here. I'll tell you, it wasn't me. But we'll leave that for another time. Okay, so now let's go ahead and get into our role with money and possessions. So the first thing, the Lord gave people authority over the earth. And the example, or one of the examples, Genesis 1:8, where he gave us the garden to tend. But I'm going to do Hebrews 2. 2:6-8. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. And goes on some more. So the point there is that God owns everything. He gives everything, but we're to subject it. So he gave us trees. We make things from trees, like this nice podium. God gives us seeds, and then we plant them and harvest the fruits after it. So again, everything comes from God, but he has given us the ability to take what he has given and kind of make a sub-creation of it. So we are to subject it and form it and make it more useful. And that's, to me, that's one of those images of God type of thing. He did the big creation, and he asked us to make small creations. Another part of our job is our position as a manager or a steward. I didn't put it in here. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. So basically, a steward is a person who doesn't own anything, but is given authority over something. And they're basically held accountable for it. And I made a mistake in not bringing my definition. So I'm trying to do it off the top of my head. Basically, a steward is a person that manages somebody else's possessions. And it's a fiduciary job where they're responsible to do the best they can with the interest of the owner in mind. And so us as stewards of all of God's possessions, we're kind of called to not just manage it, but manage it with God as the owner to his benefit, not our benefit. That's kind of what it means to be a steward. Now, managers as stewards have certain responsibilities. One of them is sharing. Acts 2:44 and 45 talks about that. Another thing, we can go ahead and do that one, is to be faithful. And that's 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So, again, these are responsibilities that God has put on us. We're also to be obedient, and Deuteronomy 30 talks about that. And we're to be above reproach. Titus 1:7 talks about that. And another thing is that we're to trust the Lord. I'm going to read that one. That was Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. And so, one of the things that we as people, I know I struggle with this, is to remember that everything is God's. And he's asked me to be sharing, faithful, obedient, above reproach, and to trust him in doing his will. And And basically, we're going to be held accountable for this. We find this out in Matthew 25 that we talked about before, that the Lord will come back and he's going to basically question all of us. How did you do with what I gave you? Are you a 5-talent person that made it into 10? Are you a 2-talent person that made it into 4? Or are you a 1-talent person that just kind of did nothing? And he's going to hold us accountable. And I think that that's a very humbling thing to remind myself that that I do have somebody that is holding me accountable for my actions. Okay, so we're going quick. Okay, so here's some questions, or statement. Is it easy for me to spend money in a variety of areas? Or it is easy, like household things. I mean, I just go and do it without any thought. But when I am thinking about God and what he wills, am I doing the same thing? Am I just dropping the tithe in? Am I just willy-nilly doing things? Or am I purposefully thinking about what God has given me and what he really wants me to do with it? Am I putting him first in all of my thoughts when it comes to the possessions that he has provided? You know, because realistically, I mean, I always think about this because I love sports, is you got NFL athletes. No matter how hard I tried, there is no way I would ever make it anywhere near a little league team, let alone an NFL team. There's just no way. I just don't have those talents. No matter how hard I worked, it's just not going to be there because God didn't give me that talent. But the talents he does give me, I got to think, he gave me these talents. Sure, he gives me an opportunity to grow in those talents. You know, the easiest one we can all understand is like a farmer. When they first learn how to farm, they may not put things in a straight line. They may not plant things the right depth. They may not water things the right way. When they pull weeds, they might pull part of their crops. But as they get better and they try to get better and they do get better, they'll end up with a better and better and better harvest. Now, that whole harvest is God. We know all it takes is a big rainstorm and everything floods out, and we have no control over that. But he does give us the ability to go back out there and do it again and make it better. And so with the talents that God has given me, am I thoughtfully applying those to get better, to do more for his will and not just my will? And not just do it willy-nilly, not just, okay, oop, there it is, you know. So here's a question. So how does all of this relate to Jesus? Because you always got to bring it back to Jesus. We don't talk about the Bible unless we get to Jesus. So we got to ask, how does this relate to Jesus? And what is God's most favored possession? I mean, God's most favored possession, I would think, would be his son. But God sacrificed his son, asked his son to sacrifice himself for us. So are we his favorite, or is Jesus? That's a humbling statement there. And what was Jesus' treasure? What did he spend his time on and give his effort for? I mean, Jesus, Son of God, came down and spent his time in Jerusalem, died, rose again for us. And, you know, we got his word to help us get to there. What have I done for that? And particularly, what have I done with the possessions and the skills and all that he has given me, what have I done with that? I don't know about you, but I've squandered it. I'm trying to get better, but I've blown it so many times. But I got two verses. I know I'm going to get out of here early, Sam. But I got two verses here that, one we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you think about that sacrifice. And his son first came down and became a carpenter, and then died for us so that we could have everlasting life. That's kind of humbling and almost humiliating, thinking about how I've lived my life considering what he did for me. And then Luke 10:27. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So, you know, obviously God loved us, and he is asking us to make some kind of attempt to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and also love our neighbor. Well, the first part of that, I'm just thankful I got the Holy Spirit and Jesus, because I can't even do that part. But love my neighbor as myself, I can at least make some kind of an attempt to give my neighbor some compassion where they might need it. Think about the skills and possessions I have and find ways to share with those that don't have what I've been given. So I hope, as I went through this rather quickly, because I'm always nervous and it always goes quicker than that, that this little bit of study helped twinkle or twinge or motivate any of us to try to give our lives more to what the Lord wants, and to find ways to be an example of him. So, well, it's going to be real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and the worship team can come up and finish us off. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this time together, Lord. I pray that what came out was heard with your words, Lord, and with your heart. I thank you for just all the provisions you've given us, all the skills, Lord, and all the talents. I pray, Lord, that that each one of us can get beyond the one talent that we buried, Lord, and I pray that we find ways to be more productive with what you have given us, and I pray that I just pray as we close tonight, Lord, that you'll just be with us, and I pray that you forgive us for not being as obedient as you will. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.